Welcome back to the Villain Edit. I am Monty Ashley.
And I'm Ryan Hall.
We have so much to talk about this week.
We do.
And it's weird because we didn't do an episode last week because we were like, there's just been Drag Race and maybe Amazing Race.
Yeah, it was a kind of a slow week because a lot of the shows that we normally watch are over, and I didn't really want to talk about Naked and Afraid that much because it's kind of...
They're naked, they're afraid, they're hurting themselves.
Yeah.
But not as often as they should.
I'm surprised they're not hurting each other because, dude...
They don't seem to like each other, do they?
They do not like each other.
It's weird because I feel like the premise of Naked and Afraid XL is that, you know, it's hard to survive when there's only two of you, but then when you get into a community... Then, you know, you're like, this is where humanity came from, the cooperation. But...
Right. Well, I noticed that this week the men were off on some ridiculous hunting trip where they caught nothing. But while they were off on their hunting trip, they didn't fight with each other and the women didn't fight with each other. And there was finally peace.
So you're saying the gender should just live separately?
Yes. And I've been meaning to tell you, it's time for you to find your own place, baby.
All right.
I suggest under that palm tree over there.
Oh, sweet. That sounds pretty nice. I want to really quickly cover The Amazing Race, which...
It's over.
2 weeks ago, the big manly team unexpectedly went home.
Yes.
I liked them. I ended up liking them. They seemed like jerks in the first couple episodes, but for an enormous alpha male team, they ended up being pretty pleasant, and I liked...
Yeah, they seemed like nice enough guys.
I liked that it was about four episodes into the season when I finally noticed that the biggest, buffest guy on the race had an artificial foot.
Yeah, I wasn't paying much attention to him having a fake leg because it didn't slow him down or encumber him in any way.
The Amazing Race had somebody with a prosthetic foot a few seasons ago. Because I remember there was a huge controversy because at that point the rule was if you finish last in a non-elimination leg, you lose all your possessions and money and then you have to beg for... supplies.
Yeah, that was kind of gross.
And she got to keep her prosthetic foot. And there was a lot of people arguing on the internet about whether this counts as part of her body or a possession.
That's ridiculous. It's part of her body. Come on.
Plus, it's not good television to make her hop.
Also, how are you going to beg somebody for a new artificial foot?
Well, to be honest, if you have to beg for money, you might want to take the foot off.
That's true. That could be a good strategy.
It's a proven tactic. Anyway, there was a challenge in Korea I enjoyed where they had to play Street Fighter against expert players.
Yeah, that was really, really hard.
After you lost 20 times, the other guy only used one hand. Then after you lost another 20 times, the guy was blindfolded. And then you were supposed to win pretty easily, but one of them did not. And that was hilarious to me. Because I wanted to see what else they would do after blindfolding him and make him use only one hand.
Yeah, what is he going to do? They going to tie like three of his fingers together on the other hand?
They could give him earplugs. If he doesn't have any auditory input either, he's really just flailing around.
And he felt so bad for that woman that he kept beating and beating and beating. Because she was like a nice mom lady.
And her partner was furious that the guy kept beating her. What's he supposed to do?
Yeah, that's his whole job.
Anyway, in the finale, to everybody's sadness, Brooke and Scott won.
They were the worst.
Although I do want to say, Brooke, after being one of the worst people through the entire race, was really good in the very final challenge, where she had to read instructions into a one-way radio, and Scott would put up the numbers in the scoreboard of Wrigley Field. She was very clear, row three... Put up a four. No, change that. Five. Put up a five.
Then she did very well with that.
Everybody else was doing it.
Because it was only a one-way radio.
Yep.
If he could have talked back to her, she would have been shrieking at him again.
Anyway, she at one point was so miserable she couldn't carry on, but she wouldn't let Scott carry her the way he wanted.
Yes.
I will say this is only the second worst win in Amazing Race history. Flo and Zach, Flo was like Brooke times a million, constantly insisting she wanted to quit the race, and Zach just a couple times literally carried her to the finish line, and they won, and it's still ridiculous. So that was Amazing Race, and it is over. Pshaw!
Goodbye, Amazing Race. See you next year.
It's Drag Race. How about that Drag Race? Two Drag Races.
We got two Drag Races.
The first one, they had to remake people. It's a standard Drag Race challenge.
Right, but they decided to use members of their film crew. So, like, the sound guy got a makeover. One of the show director. Was that the guy, the director?
He was associate director or something. Yeah. A very in charge person. Because although Rue's in charge, Rue isn't on set all the time. And I thought this was really interesting because, A, you know these people are cool with drag queens.
Sure.
And B, these are people that the queens actually know by this point.
Right. They're familiar with them. They're like, oh, you're the sound guy. I know you. Yeah. So like, I thought that was kind of a fun twist. It wasn't like when they brought in the military veterans or anything like that.
Yeah. They got to skip over the part where they go, oh, if my buddies back home could see me in a dress.
Well, there was that guy named Sarge.
Sarge was awesome from minute one.
He was. He was great.
He was extremely sassy.
Let's see what
that was last week. Mostly what my notes are horrible puns the judges said. Like, Nina Bonina Brown, your bunny look did not make the judges hoppy.
Ugh, God. She dressed as a bunny. The thing that I think Nina needs to do is go to an actual Hollywood makeup school and learn to make proper prosthetics.
Yeah.
Because she's pretty freaky. But that would up her game like 100%.
Although I do like that she freehands her prosthetics. Like,
she does. She makes them. They look like she was just grabbing hunks of paper clay and sculpting them and drawing on them with a pen and sticking them to people's face, which is fascinating, but not necessarily good looking.
And she was in the bottom. I feel like by this point her morale was very low. And she was not putting the time into even the faces that she was at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
She was this season's designated person who Rue enjoys saying their name.
That's true. Rue really got into that.
Every season, Rue picks somebody to go like, London, Paris, Milan. And that'll keep Milan around for another couple of seasons.
It's true.
And Nina Bonina Brown, Andre Charles, you are part of my family now.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Fantastic.
And a little bit scary.
Yeah. I don't have much else to say. Nice to see Kesha.
It was. Who went home that week?
Nina. It was Nina versus Shay, and this was another... I mean, Nina wasn't putting full effort in because Nina had been in the bottom a bunch and knew it was time.
Yeah.
So then this week, first of all, the guest judge, Andy McDowell, I was hoping for a Hudson Hawk joke or two.
You're always hoping for a Hudson Hawk joke I absolutely or two, am. Sweetheart.
They did do a sex, lies, and videotape joke.
Sure.
Which I guess that's the title that's going to most appeal to RuPaul's...
Yeah, probably.
So, this was the big gay, biggest gayest drag ball challenge. They had to do three looks. Rainbow She Better Do, where they had to incorporate a rainbow flag. And a couple of the queens just said, well, I got a pride outfit I'm going to bring.
Yeah, I was really disappointed by Alexis. I could buy that outfit in the gay stores.
Look two, you know, sexy unicorn. And most of them just said, well, here's a unicorn.
Oh, there were some great unicorns. Mm. Come on. Are you telling me Sasha's unicorn with the glitter blood-dipped horn?
Oh, no. Sasha's unicorn was my favorite thing of the entire night. Not just the blood on the horn, but it was a specific unicorn.
Whereas right.
My other notes are like, big silly hooves, space unicorn, bubbly cock. They were just put it on a onesie and a horn and paper hooves for your hands. The unicorn challenge, most of them dropped down on. Shay did well, and Sasha did well.
Didn't Shay do like a bondage pony girl look that I liked?
Yeah.
Somebody did a My Little Pony unicorn. It was not good.
That was kind of Trinity.
That was kind of Trinity.
Yeah. And then the final one was The Village People, where The Village People's looks, as I understand it, were meant to be classic masculine archetypes.
Yes, absolutely.
But they have already been changed by virtue of having been on The Village People.
Right, and also in a lot of early gay films, they played on those. So the Leatherman archetype came from the Tom of Finland stuff. And right. It was not necessarily...
Well, originally it's biker. Like, that's what Leatherman
came
fashion...
from?
Okay. Yeah, it came out of being a biker, but it's... That look in particular has been so taken over by the gay subculture that
and
adopted it.
And the heavy metal culture.
Because of Rob Halford, which I don't think
culture.
That counts. So, but like, the cowboy was adopted by the Village People because it's a very masculine archetype, but now it's a Village People archetype.
Right.
And now these drag queens were being told to repurpose these hyper-masculine archetypes by way of the Village People into very feminine versions of those archetypes. So there were a lot of levels to work on.
I can't tell if that's really meta or just really confusing. Either way, it was interesting. It was an interesting challenge.
What it meant was that somebody had to look you in the eye and say, "This is my Native American look." Which no one has ever used the word Native American to describe the Indian and the Village People.
Yes, that is true.
Sensitivity and political correctness don't really apply there.
No. He was Puerto Rican, bless his heart.
Well, you know, back then, what's that documentary about how...
Paris is Burning?
No, the one about Native American depictions in film.
A Real Indian.
Yeah. One of the things that points out is everybody got to play Native Americans, as long as you were just kind of swarthy.
Yeah, there's a movie where Rock Hudson plays like Crazy Horse.
Oh, Lord. So, the rainbow looks, they liked Shay's look a lot. She was mostly just sprayed up with graffiti.
Yeah, her dress was not rainbowy. It was kind of a salmon pink color with graffiti sprayed on it in grays and a couple pops of bright color, but there was nothing rainbowy about it. It was kind of interesting in that it was so off target.
Sasha,
so of course they loved it.
Sasha, I loved, also very off target. Her look was everything in blocks of bright color. So the gloves are one bright color and the dress is another bright color.
Right, and starting from the bottom, it was the colors of the rainbow on the pride flag.
And then she took off her hat and there was a little house on her head and the house had a pride flag.
Yes.
Flying. So.
And I also felt like that was a Wizard of Oz over the rainbow pun because I'm going to drop a house on your head next.
Now. So. Sasha and Shay were the top two and subject of a lot of discussion on, well, was Sasha too high fashion, not drag enough? And I gotta say, both of them were doing more of a high fashion thing than a drag thing. And then people were saying, well, was Shay not rainbowy enough? And both of them were pretty rainbow adjacent.
I think that I loved Shay's Village People look. Because she got construction worker. So she took a bunch of flannel shirts and cut them up and made kind of a cape out of them. And I love this because while she was doing it, she was sewing really hard and everybody in the room with her was making fun of her. I don't know what the hell she is doing. And it was turned out to be the most amazing look ever.
Yep.
I loved it so much.
And that is the look that won it for her. For all the judges' later discussion of, well, was this fashion or drag? What happened was that I think it was the real choice is Sasha's unicorn versus Shay's construction worker.
I don't know. Sasha's rainbow they loved.
They liked all three of both of their looks.
Yeah.
I was not that big a fan of Sasha's cowboy-inspired look.
It was cute, but it wasn't... She made a dress out of, like, bandanas.
And a pretty simple dress. And
a cowboy hat.
Yeah.
But not a real cowboy hat, more of a fashion cowboy hat.
And I gotta say, there's a lot of really fun directions to go with cowgirl.
That's true.
You could go forward or you could go reverse. Anyway, that's what Shay and Sasha did. The other three weren't that great. I will say Alexis came out in what I have noted as a regular pride outfit. Then big silly hooves. Then for her Native American look, she was very proud of the corset she decorated, which means she hot glued a million pieces of
turquoise to a corset. And she had a scarf tied around her waist as a skirt. A piece of fabric tied around her waist as a skirt and a bedazzled corset.
She also had a hair bow in her hair, but, you know, like a bow and arrow bow.
Like a hunting bow and arrow thing. I thought that was more of a tribute to early Steve Martin. I thought she should have just had the arrow coming out the other side. It would have been awesome. But she didn't have that much of a sense of humor. Also, earlier in that show, she had been part of a choreographed routine of
Rhythmic gymnastics.
And she was very upset because she didn't get put in charge.
But she wasn't in charge. Sasha was in charge.
Right.
So Alexis kept getting the instruction, go farther, go harder. And especially next to Shay and Sasha, who naturally go for the edges.
Yeah, it was not a good week for her, Alexis.
And that did lead to the Untucked, where the main topic of discussion was, A, Shay and Sasha, when asked, said, I believe Alexis should go home. And B, how come you didn't tell me my dress was bad?
Yeah, Alexis, this is the second time she's complained because the other girls didn't dress her.
No. This is a real friendly group and a very pleasant show to watch. But you're in the top five. They were working on their own looks.
I really enjoyed the way that they addressed that in the Untucked before Alexis came back and started saying, you threw me under the bus.
Yeah.
The first thing that happened was Alexis stepped into the room and somebody said, I'm so sorry I had to throw you under the bus.
That was Sasha taking it on herself, saying, I did throw you under the bus. Here's why. And
I had to say somebody.
Yeah. Now, this was the best lip sync of the season for me. It's almost the only good lip sync of the season.
Yeah, this has been a bad season for the lip syncs.
What I want out of a lip sync is two people putting on a show and ideally interacting in some way.
Yeah.
Some of my favorites have been when the two people on stage, instead of upstaging each other at every turn, will actually play off what the other is doing, or maybe purposely do something in sync to put on a better show. I really enjoy that.
Yeah, and they did some of that. I think, yeah.
So the bottom two were Alexis and Peppermint. Alexis took her hair bow off and added a mustache, which was hilarious.
Yes, because they were lip syncing to Macho Man.
And then immediately took the mustache off, perhaps realizing
that this was, well, after last week, you don't want anything that might obscure the lip syncing.
Yeah. Peppermint absolutely destroyed it. Seemed to be having a great time. Connected with the judges perfectly.
Made eye contact with audience members.
Kind of nodded over to Alexis during the line, he's a macho man. Did a really hilarious walk. Did moves from a Janet Jackson video.
Yeah, it was.
And removed her wig to reveal another wig.
Yep, if you're going to tear your wig off, you got to have another wig under it. That is, yeah.
Also, what I really liked, the other three queens standing against the back of the room, they were doing background dancing.
Yes, they were. That was fun.
I really approved of that. That was super fun. Peppermint stayed. Alexis went home, which, I like Alexis, but it was time. The top four now are Shay, Sasha, Alexis, and Shay, Sasha, Peppermint, and Trinity. And I think that's a great top four. I'm super happy with that.
That's a good top four. I think that those guys are all fairly evenly matched. I dislike Trinity, and I'm not sure why. I don't know. There's just something about Trinity that annoys me.
Sasha has been my favorite the whole time.
I love Sasha.
The only criticism the judges have had of her this week were too high fashion. But they say that even when Sasha does something super cartoony, like guest judges who only see her one time look at one look of Sasha's and go, oh, she has a point of view and knows how to execute it.
Uh-huh.
So I'm hoping Sasha makes it to the finale, if for nothing else, then that normally means they get to put on their own little show.
And I really want to see what that's about.
Yeah, like, that'll be great. Also, we were trying to think of other bands where you could do a challenge like this, where everybody has to dress up as a different member of the band.
Oh yeah, we were.
There aren't that many bands where everybody has a completely different look. The Who did it sometimes. Cheap Trick, kind of. You know, there's...
Sure, you could do it with Cheap Trick. You could do it with The Damned.
Sure.
Those guys all look like they're in completely different bands.
That's what I like, is a band where you look at one guy and you think, oh, that's the band uniform. And you go, oh, no, just that guy just... likes dressing like a skeleton.
Okay. Well, good for them.
The Bachelorette is still happening. Rachel seems very sensible to me in that she is sending home all of the producer-driven nonsense.
Right. She sent home...
DeMario, who was clearly only cast on the show so that the producers could have a basketball challenge he would do great on, and then surprise him with this ex-girlfriend he didn't dump properly.
Right. His girlfriend came in and is like, I just getting texts from him. He was sleeping with me like 2 weeks ago. So he went home.
And then came back and whined for a while, and then Rachel sent him home again. She sent home Waboom and Blake, the anti-Waboom, because nobody cares about this stuff.
Yeah, nobody cares about their feud.
But we still got another 5 minutes of their feud, because by a shocking coincidence, they were doing interviews at exactly the same moment in the back.
What?
I know.
Their exit interviews were taking place at the same time in the same driveway?
Weird.
So, unthinkable.
So now the focus of anger is Eric, because Lee and Bryce said mean things about Eric to, I guess, Raven, I think it was. Also, Iggy is mad at Eric, and...
Yeah, people are pretty mad at Eric.
I'm pretty sick of Eric, because he's really fond of the phrase, in your mouth, as in, my name is in your mouth, which he shouted roughly 2 trillion times.
Yeah.
But he did say, don't make this thing about me, make it about Rachel, which is... best advice these guys should be given.
Yeah, stop arguing amongst yourselves about your own shit.
You get like 5 minutes per episode alone time with Rachel. Don't spend it telling her how much you hate Eric. That's, talk about yourself.
Make, yeah, absolutely. Let's see, what else happened this week? It was crazy.
There's a horse.
Yeah, they got it to go on a one-on-one date. With the that jawbone guy.
That one guy had giant hands for some reason.
The tickle monster came in wearing giant hands. He's the worst, the tickle monster. He's pretty much the worst remaining.
One guy tried to impress her by solving a Rubik's Cube for her. I've tried that myself. Women were not too impressed at summer camp, I can tell you that. I was going to do that for my talent show thing. They said, let's try something else.
You never solved a Rubik's Cube for me.
there was one thing we both thought was pretty mean of Rachel.
Yeah. Rachel was on a group date. She picks up the group date rose, which you give as a special gift for your favorite of the date. And she tells this one guy, what was his name?
I don't remember, but it's the one she went to school
with. She went to school with. Would you come with me for a moment? And all the guys in the room are like, dang, ooh, he getting that rose. That is an actual quote.
Yeah.
I was not. He actually said that. And so everybody thought he was getting the rose. She takes him out into the other room and says, you know, when we were having our one-on-one and you kissed me, it was totally gross. I felt like I was kissing you back in first grade when I was in like third grade, and I can't stop seeing you as that little kid, and this is not going
to
work.
To be fair, it was a super awkward kiss where he had just found out that three other guys had kissed her already just in the show. I assume more than that in her life. And he was like, well, what if I asked to kiss you? And she said, you're going to ask to kiss me? And then he talked for another, like, 3 minutes before going in for some real awkward kissing.
Yeah, it was not...
And her body language was pretty clear.
I believe her hands were in fists. I'm not entirely sure. I couldn't see both of them, but one of them was kind of in a fist, and she was not into it.
Anyway, she cut him. And we both think it's kind of weird to bring the rose along for that discussion.
Yeah, that's just mean. For to have him think he's going to get the fancy rose and then send him home. Yeah. That.
Then there was a one-on-one date where they rode horses along Rodeo Drive.
Right. And they went rode some horses into a store and one of them peed on the floor.
One of the horses.
One of the horses. Well, you never know on this show.
One guy on this show, and I did not write down who it was, apparently told her, I'm an old soul.
Because she opened a conversation with, so you said you're an old soul.
Now, like, you can't
tell yourself an old soul.
That's something you get told by some hippie girl, ideally. You don't just say,
you're such an old soul.
Right, that works. You say, you know, Rias, I'm an old soul.
No, that's not going to get you very far.
That makes it sound like my next sentence is going to be, I feel like I should have lived in steampunk times. So, there's still way too many people on the show. They sent home most of the drama people. We closed out on Eric yelling at everyone.
Yep. Oh, we got him. So, the current edit is that Lee is two-faced.
Oh, yeah. Because Lee...
Hey, Lee's the country singer from Nashville.
Lee will do interviews where he says, I hate them. And then... I will say there were a few discussions between Lee, Bryce, and Eric where everybody kept their temper really well. They right, all seemed to like, be trying hard to say, here's my position on... Here's why I told Rachel's right. friend, I don't think you're
you
the right,
right
man.
For her.
And Eric, although clearly furious about this kind of thing, is expressing he would prefer it if they not... tell Rachel's friends bad things about him.
Right.
But that temper only lasts
right. a while. Right, and they would show Lee, like, during the conversation being very nice, and then they cut away to him saying, ha-ha, I'm going to destroy them all.
Yeah, and it looks like Lee's arguing tactic pretty soon is deliberately enraging somebody because he thinks it's funny, which can be, but... You're just making yourself look like a jerk.
Well, he is a jerk in real life.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, he's a pretty racist.
Oh, no.
And kind of hates women.
Huh.
Yeah, he's...
That's great.
Yeah.
Let's get out of this.
Let's get out of this. So what's going on in Forged in Fire?
Well, there was a guy with laryngitis. His name was Mark. And... I loved that they let him compete anyway because he could only whisper like this. And it made everything sound like Bane or something.
Yeah, it made everything sound ominous.
I put the knife into the fire where it will become strong.
Yeah.
This was a challenge where everybody had to pick a different type of scrap metal. So one person got jackhammer bits. Mark got farrier's rasps. One person got a kind of wrench. And one person got giant cable. Mark got farrier's rasps, which happens to be a long...
Yeah, it's basically a long, flat file.
Yeah. And the way he turned it into a blade was basically by cutting off the corner. So now
it was pointy.
And then doing a bit of forging on it. Not a lot.
He did heat it up and hit it with a hammer and kind of flatten it out a little.
Yeah. But the judges... really don't like it.
When you're not forging something in fire.
They want to see you reshape the metal with heat and hammer or power hammer. So I felt like they weren't thrilled with the way he was doing things. Also, there was a lot of bad quenching. One guy quenched 8 times.
Yeah, he couldn't get the steel to harden. What are you going to do?
I don't understand that. You get this metal as hot as you can, and then you put it in the oil, and then whatever chemical
magic
process
happens,
and then it's hard.
Right, unless you've screwed up somewhere along the way, but I don't know what that means.
maybe it's a kind of metal that doesn't have enough carbon, or...
Yeah, but then you just have to heat it up and re-quench it until it works.
They suggested that maybe he was yanking the metal out of the oil too quickly, so it didn't cool enough.
Yeah, that could have been it. You gotta put it in there, you gotta heat treat it, you get it real hot, you stick it in some oil, and you give it like a couple seconds.
Yeah.
And he was just kind of plunging it into the oil and pulling it back out, and then immediately using the file test to see if it had hardened, and I think you've got to give it a few seconds before you do that, maybe?
Well,
I don't know.
His was the one that went home because it just was not hard enough.
Yeah.
And even though the judges weren't thrilled with any of the knives, three of them were hard and one wasn't.
Yeah.
So that left a guy named Ryan, who believes that knives have souls.
Yes, Ryan's an artist.
Yeah.
His knife was made out of parts of a jackhammer bit.
Yeah. They told him, we don't like your edge geometry, and he still spent his entire round two working on fancy handle stuff.
Yeah, instead of fixing the edge, which is the one thing they called him out on. So,
and I will say to contestants on the show, the thing they care the most about is the knife. And the thing they care the second most about is how comfortable the handle is. It's
right.
Not perfectly round, and your hand doesn't slide up and down.
Yep.
They care about looks a distant third after that.
Yeah.
There was also, who do we got here? Mark was the laryngitis guy.
Laryngitis guy. He went home first round.
No, he went home second round.
Okay.
What is it here? Anyway, what they ended up making, Mark, the laryngitis guy... I'm getting a text here saying that I am caught in this sentence and it's boring and I should move on. So I'm going to. The sword they made was the charret, which is a cool triangular job that kind of looks like it'd be really good at stabbing. It was very popular in the Khyber Pass.
Yes, I think Flashman got caught up with one of those.
Almost certainly. The weird thing about it was that along the spine, there's a T, so it actually goes... extra wide up at the spine.
Right. It looks kind of like a butcher knife, except really big and with a wide T at the top. It's hard to explain,
yeah.
but it looks vicious. And if I were to go out and buy a sword, I would buy one of those.
Yeah.
Because it's a nice short sword. I'm nice and short. It's very pointy.
The two guys that were in it were Ryan, who is kind of the artist type, and Steve, who is a guy with zero drama and very few interview segments either.
Ryan is very artistic. He made his sword, and then he decided he was going to carve a little wolf head into the handle, but carving's not his forte, but it was something with a snout and ears. It
looked like a bat to me.
Could have been a bat.
Bats,
could have been a wolf.
Bats come in a lot of non-standard snout configurations.
That's
you can't
true.
Prove anything
That's
with a
true.
Bat. They both.
I didn't like his sword as much.
Ryan's, for an artist, just wasn't as crisp as Steve's. Steve's was all smooth lines and
sharp angles, and the other guy's was had hammer marks in it and.
Doug Markaita looked positively giddy to be testing these on the ballistics dummies.
He did. He just stabbed them in and twisted them around in the guts and then bragged about how he disemboweled things.
I really enjoy watching the Smiths at this stage because, you know, they've made their blades, they've shipped them back to the set, and now we're going to see if I did well. But then as soon as they start being used, they get giddy and start nudging each other like, did you see that? Oh my God!
They shot a bullet at my knife and it didn't break it. Yeah, and the knife makers, because they're all the same, they're all a specialized kind of nerd. I really enjoy that they're so happy and excited to see their blades being tested.
Yeah.
I'm
guessing a lot of times if you make a cool historical weapon, you dulls. So to see them chopping stuff up is unusual.
Yeah.
Both swords did really well in all the challenges.
Yep. I just didn't like the look of Ryan's sword as much. Also, I did not care for Ryan's hat.
It was a steampunk hat.
It was a leather top hat with some gears glued to it.
What did I just think, say?
I think you all know what I mean. Mm-hmm. And it just, it wasn't a flattering hat on him.
Be cool, man. We like you, Ryan.
I'm sorry, Ryan. It's just, there are better top hats for you.
So the swords did just as well, and the judges said, we're going to give it to Steve because his sword looks a little better, and Ryan's was too heavy. Now, mm-hmm. I thought that was a totally honorable loss for Ryan. Your sword didn't
absolutely
break or anything.
Absolutely, it was. It didn't break. It passed all the tests. It's just that it was really thick and heavy, and this is supposed to be a light, quick sword.
Yeah. Now, you would think we're done, but no. Ink Master is back.
Oh, God. Ink Master is back. Because we don't... Because we watch a lot of shows where the contestants get along with each other and seem like decent human beings.
My favorite thing is watching Face Off and Ink Master back to back, which we'll get to do starting next week when...
Ooh, Face Off's coming back!
So, yeah. Ink Master is a show... Okay. What it's supposed to be about is tattoos.
Yes.
It's your standard. A whole bunch of you are here to tattoo... We're going to cut people until we're down to the top,
right.
Whatever.
This season, it's several tattoo shops have rallied teams of their two best tattooers to come and compete as a team in the show. So they're eliminated in groups of two, etc.
But what Ink Master is really about is just berating people because you don't think they deserve to be here.
Yeah, it's pretty awful. Everyone on that show is a jerk.
Like, on Face Off, you're constantly getting people saying, can you help me with this? Oh, that looks good. And they'll do interviews.
Yeah.
Wow, that dragon looks really cool. Nobody on Ink Master has ever said anything nice about anything anyone else has done.
Oh, no. Everyone else's work is crap, but they are genius. They're a genius themselves.
And to be fair, a lot of the tattoos on the show are crap, which is terrifying to me.
So, being someone?
Oh, no, it was ice sculpture.
Oh,
well, you know how to learn kung fu, you have to wax a fence and stuff like that?
Oh,
and
sure,
play with
sure,
a little drum?
Yeah, and punch a lot of sand.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, to be a tattoo artist, naturally everybody... Here's the thing. Ink Master's flash challenges are always nonsense. They have one they do every year, which is like laying out gunpowder and then burning it and then being judged on the artistic quality of the scorching you created.
Yeah, it's really stupid.
So this was, each team was given a big hunk of ice and a couple picks and told, go for it.
Right. And the reasoning they were given was, well, if you're a true artist, you can make art out of anything. That is not true.
No, it's a sculptor. You're clearly just judging people on whether or not they have a sculpting background.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
I did like it because it meant that in the course of the judging... We got to see the names of all the shops.
Right.
But first, I will say, 8 minutes in is how long it took to get the first, we're being underestimated because we're women.
We're going to hear that a lot.
A woman won the last season.
Yeah, and the reason the woman won the last season was because all of the women made an alliance that one of them would win, and they just destroyed everyone. It was great.
So... Mostly people did not do a great job with the ice sculpture, in my opinion.
No, but somebody eventually won.
Yep. Team Unkindness did a pretty good bird.
Yes.
Tip to toe, that's a bird. I said that during the show and I thought it was funny and I said it now. A couple teams did what kind of looked like a troll. Team Pins and Needles, which is the ladies, did a pretty cool anatomical heart.
Yeah, I like the anatomical heart.
Team Allegory did their own logo in the state of Alabama.
Right. They carved a big piece of ice into the state of Alabama, and then they carved their logo on top of it. Okay.
I mean, they were supposed to represent themselves. You have a logo.
I thought they did a fine job, and so did the judges, so they win.
Were they the team that did the cool heart, or the cool flowers inside the ice?
Yeah, they were.
Yeah. So what most people did was their ice sculpture was just... essentially treating the ice as a block of stone. But what this team did was they went around to the back and carved into the ice to make a rose, which when looked from the front had a different color.
Yeah, it was an interesting technique. It was something I hadn't seen before. So we got through the ice sculpting. So yeah. Now it's time for a tattoo challenge, right?
No,
right?
No.
We're finally going to get to see these people's
work. Stop. What? I'm going to stop you right there. We can't be doing tattoo challenges yet. It's time for another dumb flash challenge.
Okay.
What you're going to have to do is make a sign with your shop's name. And naturally, you're going to do this the way you make every sign. The two of you are going to take Dremel tools and carve into a big sheet of plaster. Okay. And then pour liquid metal into that.
Oh, yeah. That's how I make every sign.
Yep. And whatever.
That's why my store doesn't have very many sales. It takes so long to make the signs for them.
So this, again, is a test of something no one has ever done.
Or why would they want to?
Mostly, everything came out ugly. One team misspelled their own name because...
Because they forgot to put a line across the bottom of the B and then it was an R.
Well, the problem there is you have to write everything backwards because you're working from the back.
Right.
And also you're dealing with... you're carving out negative space that will be filled with metal.
Right. There's, I mean, I can understand how it happened, but it's still pretty funny.
There's a lot of different things to keep track of there.
One team, their metal wasn't... I don't know what happened. Their metal wouldn't...
They were trying to do a cool cassette tape, but instead the metal stuck to the drywall or something, and it was just a huge mess.
Yeah, the drywall wouldn't... The metal would not come out of the mold.
There were only two good teams. There was Team Unkindness and Team Tri-Cities. Tri-Cities... are the ones with Bang, who...
Yes, they have a team member named Bang, and she's very young and has not been tattooing for long.
And talks a lot, and I feel like did 70% of the interview segments.
Yeah, but she's really loud and she's kind of whiny.
Yeah.
And the other guy on their team has an oddly shaped head.
We try not to make a big deal of this, but...
it's an oddly shaped head.
I think it's because of where his goatee is, but it looks like he doesn't have a chin. Like, very shortly after his lip stops, you're headed neckwards.
Yeah, it could be a beard thing.
I don't know. But that's which team Tri-Cities are. They took up a lot of space in this episode.
A lot of emotional space, too.
Like, they came in second in this one, and that means they're very angry they didn't win.
Right. So finally, we get to have a tattoo challenge.
All right.
It has been a long time since we've had a tattoo challenge.
So, normally, everybody's told, do it in this style. And then
right, like, you find do a,
American traditional. And American traditional has very specific rules that are never really explained on the show, but the judges all seem to know what they are.
You know what it is when you see it. You know American traditional when you see it. But this challenge... they're not allowed to use any reference photos.
Which is interesting to me because a previous contestant on this show, Josh...
just printed out reference photos, tattooed them on.
Now, he was excellent at reproducing photos. There was a reason he won the All-Star season after coming in like near the top of his own season. He was very good at arguing with people and making them furious and very, very good at reproducing things. He wasn't really much for drawing. And this challenge he would have been bad at because they just brought out actual animals and said,
You got an hour to sketch these.
There was a big snake. Everybody freaked out. There was a hawk. Everybody freaked out. And there was an alligator. Everybody freaked out.
Yeah.
This was MasterChef Junior levels of people freaking out on cue.
I was scared of snakes. I'm like, dude, it's got a keeper, and look how fat it is. That snake does not want to eat anything. It's got a deer in it.
And you're a tattoo artist. You got to look at snakes occasionally, don't you?
Yep.
And daggers and roses and stuff.
So one of the things he said was they need to be proportionally correct.
Yes. There are no restrictions on style, but it has to be accurate. So that means no... goofy cartoon stuff.
So, of course, one team did goofy cartoon stuff.
Yeah. That was team... what do I have here? Thicker Than Blood. Team Thicker Than Blood. Where they had two guys on the team. One guy specializes in black and white photorealistic animal portraiture. And the other guy does New School.
So guess who got to draw the thing? New school.
After asking questions to clarify what the judges were expecting and being told...
No new school.
But the portraiture guy, I felt, wasn't comfortable taking the lead. And Thicker Than Blood ended up going home.
Yes. Because their snake was stupid looking.
It was pretty stupid
looking. It was really a bad tattoo. The team that was also in the bottom with them were Tri-City.
Yep.
Tri-City tried to do a thing where it looked like a snake crawling into and out of a guy's skin. So, like, parts of it were submerged under the skin.
But it didn't. It just looked segmented to me.
It just looked like pieces of a snake stuck on a guy's arm.
Like one of those old Revolutionary War... propaganda posters.
And also the parts of the snake were drawn in different styles. Like the head was really realistic and it had the right pattern on it, but the further you followed the snake down, like the tail was weirdly truncated and polka dotted with even round polka dots where the rest of the snake had a snaky pattern on it.
Yes.
It was very bad.
And then there was the Marked Society, which also had one realism guy and one new school guy. And the way they divided up their work was they were going to have a realistic gator head surrounded by fancy colorful frame.
Right. But they failed to make a realistic gator head.
It was so foreshortened that I honestly couldn't tell whether it was the gator or the snake.
Yeah, it looked like a turtle with fangs.
I'm into it.
It was not good. It was foreshortened in a weird way. The eyes were too close together, so it looked like there was one eye on the side of the head and one eye poking out the top of the head.
I liked the frame okay, but it was a challenge about the animals.
Yeah.
The other teams did better. Black Anchor did a gator that looked just like a gator head.
Yep, you could absolutely tell what it was. It was photorealistic. I had no problem with it. It was kind of black and white.
Classic Trilogy Tattoo, which I hope is not a Star Wars reference.
Oh, it's a Star Wars reference.
Right. Everybody suspected didn't use the reference hawk, just kind of drew a hawk, because you know what a tattoo hawk is supposed to look like?
It did look like a tattoo hawk. It looked like an American traditional style tattoo hawk, which is kind of cartoony. It was kind of cartoony, and they only did the head. They didn't do the whole body. And they got in some trouble for that.
Pins and Needles, the judges seemed to like the head and the rose, but not the bird in between.
Yeah.
Like there was just lacking detail. And then Artistic Skin Designs did what was described as a great hawk, but was also described as a hawk you could draw without having a hawk to use as reference.
Although they won, so...
They insisted that they are actually not good enough to draw a hawk from memory.
And I agree, they are not.
I will say that although I get annoyed with the judging on this show, I like that the judging has remained consistent, that it's still Oliver Peck, Chris Nunez, and Dave Navarro.
I do like that, and I like that they, when they do judging, they're very specific in telling people what's wrong.
Yeah.
Like, you need to have this line, these lines are not solid enough. These colors are poorly blended.
Yeah, a lot of times... when it gets into the nitty-gritty, the tattoo will be on screen, and Oliver Peck will be saying, this line, this line, this line. And you can see in the blown-up version, yep, he picked out those lines that were too thick, those lines that...
Yeah.
So they are very knowledgeable.
They're knowledgeable
judges. Two of them are.
Dave Navarro is just... Bless his little heart.
He's doing a new theme song for the show this season, I think.
Oh, good. Well, that's good.
I also like that...
I think he knows a lot about tattoos because he has a lot of them.
He doesn't have good ones.
Tattoos are not... I haven't gone to great depths of research, but many of Dave Navarro's tattoos look pretty bad.
A lot of his tattoos look like he got them in the tour bus and not from a great tattoo shop.
That's true.
Which is fine. And certainly by this point, he's seen a lot of tattoos, but...
Yeah, I'm sure he probably has some good tattoos. I just have never investigated.
Yeah, who knows what you're going to find. this season, there is no bonus ridiculous jury thing. And I'm going to talk about that for a second because it makes me really happy.
Okay.
Some seasons, they had the human canvas jury. First, I don't like the phrase human canvas. It's so Buffalo Bill. But what would happen is all the people who got tattoos would have a little meeting and decide whose tattoo was worse.
And that seemed unnecessarily mean.
Because you have somebody saying, well, I like my tattoo. And then other people are saying, no, you see how that's wrong, and that beak is jacked up, and how those sun's rays isn't contiguous.
And now this person has this tattoo for the rest of their life, unless they get a cover-up. And 5 minutes ago, they were really
happy to support that tattoo, however ridiculous you think it looks.
It's true.
Then some seasons, they've also had the tattoo artists themselves nominate someone for elimination, which...
You thought they were shouty before? Oh my god, they're the worst.
And it's dumb because none of that has any impact on who goes home. The judges, bottom three.
I agree.
Just a waste of time. So I'm glad that we're not doing any of those bonus jury stuff. So far, it's just the judges saying, you're the top, you're the bottom, good job, bad job.
I think that the way that this show is edited and produced kind of makes me less likely to get a tattoo because it gives me the impression that every tattoo artist is kind of a dick.
Yeah. And also, every time they go up for elimination, everybody thinks they can argue their way out of it. Because there's always a lot of, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep fighting for my spot. I don't think the judges like being interrupted as much as the contestants think they do.
Yeah, they're always interrupting. Well, their snake's stupid looking. Or whatever. Our snake is better, at least. One of the arguments tonight was, well, at least our tattoo can be fixed or covered up easily. Tri-City Tattoo actually said that. Well,
oh, no.
His tattoo can't be even fixed. Ours could at least be covered. And I was like, oh, that's not what you say to the judges.
I mean, Oliver Peck's kind of a jerk, but he's right a lot of the time. I really don't think you're going to change his mind by whining about anything.
I don't think Peck's that much of a jerk, but I do not care for his mustache this season.
Oh man, it's weird. It should be a big glorious handlebar mustache, but it droops down instead.
Yeah, it's and he's dyed the ends green.
But not bright green, which would be fun.
No, it's more swampy.
Yeah, it's weird.
Man can do what he wants with his mustache.
And on that note, I think we're going to end the episode because we've gone almost an hour.
Oh, I'm so sorry for talking so very long about mustaches.
Next season, Face Off is back, or next week, Face Off is back, and I'm super excited about that.
I am super excited about a show where people are nice to each other.
I love watching Face Off and Ink Master back to back because it really highlights the differences.
I kind of want to watch Ink Master first,
so that
Face Off will calm me down from my towering rage.
Sounds good to me.
All right.
Okay, bye.
Bye.